A lot of great stories at TechCrunch. I'm never short on things to talk about when one of their reporters joins us. Sean O'Kane drew the short stick or the long stick today to be on Your Money Matters. I don't know, Sean, but you do all the transportation stuff there. Thanks for hopping on with us.
I would call it the long stick. I'm happy to be here.
That's good to know. Uber, as we do so many traffic reports here in Chicago, I'm kind of excited about the idea of taking a helicopter to get somewhere fast. I don't think it's coming here soon, but it's coming somewhere soon, huh?
Yeah, not there soon. Although, you know, the funny thing is sometimes when they offer these things, they do wind up being cost parity with some of the more expensive car services. So it's not that crazy. Yeah, they're bringing Blades helicopters to their platform starting as early as next year, likely in the greater New York area and also in some parts of southern France. Right now, Blade's been in operation for about 10 years in New York, offering a number of different routes to the major airports there. And this is part of a deal. Blade was just recently acquired by a company called Jovi, which is this electric air taxi company that itself sort of got its start or got a boost a few years ago by buying some of that technology away from Uber, funny enough. So it's this big kind of circuitous thing that is, you know, the companies all say is a precursor to eventually having these larger air taxis on Uber's platform many years down the road.
But a very designated route. You get picked up here and you're going to an airport there. It's not like come to my building up here and I'll meet you on the roof.
Correct. And part of the reason that Joby even made this acquisition of Blade just 1 month ago is because it gives them a foothold in these two major regions of the New York tri-state area and in southern Europe, because Blade has already built out some infrastructure there. So it's just a little bit of a shortcut for Joby, which is its own publicly traded company, but is still sort of in the testing and certification process of its larger multi-passenger vehicles. And so, yes, it's these sort of fixed locations, nice little lounges, almost like private jet travel, but more accessible, and helicopters.
Any idea how much that'll cost?
We're not really sure right now. Uber's not really talking about pricing. They're still working on getting the initial steps done of integrating these helicopters to the platform, working some of the software issues out, and getting it polished up. But like I said at the beginning, you know, Uber's actually run some of these promotional offers with Blade in the past in New York, and they do kind of wind up, you know, depending on how many people are using them and the supply and demand of it, they can wind up being roughly equivalent to some of the more expensive options that you would see for taking an Uber to a local airport from a major city. So, you know, think over $100, but, you know, on a good day, maybe under $200.
Wow. Unless you take a helicopter black, then it's a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
But Ching, bad jokes today. Okay, I've heard of electric cars, of course, and you mentioned helicopters, and there's been talk of, you know, electrifying certain boats out there. That can be a struggle. Never heard of electric tugboats, but this could be a consequential thing if they can figure out how to make this work, right?
Yeah, I found this really interesting. This is this company called ARC. They're based in Los Angeles. They've only been around since 2021. They were founded by a number of former SpaceX employees and some folks from Tesla and Rivian. And, you know, for the first 4 years or so, they've really been working on a couple different versions of electric sport boats. And that may sound, you know, a little terrifying, thinking about electric vehicles being in the water, but
yeah,
it's actually much safer than you'd imagine. And it offers a ton of benefits that may even be more tangible to folks than electric cars, because you don't have the really loud noise of a boat engine. You also don't have the fumes. And it also really cuts down, even more so than passenger vehicles on the road, on maintenance and a lot of the headaches that come with boat ownership, like winterization and fuel costs.
Interesting.
And so they have some really attractive, you know, pretty expensive, but pretty attractive sport boats that they've been working on for the last few years. And then today they announced their first major deal with a company based in the Los Angeles area as well, to build these 80-foot long tugboats. And, you know, think about those benefits that I just mentioned, but apply them to like a worker who's going to be living on one of these things for about 2 weeks at a time. You know, you're losing those fumes, you're losing all the space for the massive diesel sort of power generators that they have been historically powered by. And it makes it a much better experience, but it also still has that power that those kinds of things need, because these things are incredibly powerful. These are the kinds of tugboats that go right up against the hull of the massive cargo ships that come into the LA port and help move it in and out of the ports. And so it's a really interesting trial for them. But it's a real customer, and there are going to be real boats, and it's going to have a chance to make a big difference in how the Port of LA is run.
I love that. The last story that I wanted to talk about, you didn't write. You wrote the previous two, but I thought you could at least give us 2 minutes on this. I love AI stuff. And my idea of having AI being your second brain scares you. But when I read about this product, this Twin Mind product, it sort of makes a little bit more sense to me. Break it down for the listeners.
Yeah, this one's really interesting. It's a company that is formed by a couple people who used to be with Google's Project X, which is essentially their like moonshot laboratory. It was where they had a lot of different crazy ideas developed, like hot air balloon based, like that. And you know, there's been a trend in Silicon Valley lately, especially among very young startups, of coming up with wearable devices of some kind, whether it's a necklace or earbuds or a ring, you know, you name it, and they're always on and always listening. And many of those different startups have different takes on why they think that could be valuable. A lot of them think it's, oh, you know, can I ask that device, who was I speaking to about setting that meeting on Wednesday? This one is a little bit more like you described it. It's meant to be more something that, again, always on and always listening through your phone, though. And they say that they've been able to make it so that that won't be as power hungry of an idea as it would be if you were to let like the voice recorder on your phone run right now, which is an interesting technological development. It's a really wonky thing that even I only about half understand.
But it will basically you could summarize your day. I was in class, yeah. And here's a bullet points of the meetings that you had today, or here's what the question of the day was on WGN. I forgot what it was, but I was listening, right?
Yeah, or 7 weeks ago on this particular day. Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they're being so specific on that being the use case versus it being a kind of all-knowing thing that you like converse with and have like as almost like a digital friend, which is what some of these other startups are doing. You know, I think that focus is an interesting piece of this. The one thing that I always worry about with this stuff, and you know, I feel like I deal with this with just the kind of regular non-AI technology that I have at my fingertips, is the more you rely on that stuff, the harder it can be to recall those things without leaning on that technology. All of a sudden, when you don't have the ability to just search through, oh, like all the Google Docs that I've created of, you know, trips that I'm taking or even drafts of things that I'm writing, it just feels like it's harder to remember those things. Or if you don't have Google search at your fingertips, you know, it feels like it's harder to know and remember things. So that's the thing that I'm always worried
for
about
sure.
With these, aside from just the larger privacy implications
turning
over your entire life to something like this.
Right, which we don't have time to talk about. It's like John Williams, he is a guest on a show that talks about don't use GPS to get around a little bit. Helps your memory. Sean O'Kane, I hope you'll come back again. You do great work, and so does your whole crew at TechCrunch, okay?
Thank you. We really appreciate that. Anytime.